Father, we worship you. We come into your presence this morning yet again, Lord God, with hearts bowed. We recognize that without you we can do nothing. And so, Father, we come by the blood of the Lamb as we go into your word this morning. We recognize it is the word of God. And so, Father, I humble myself afresh, Lord, under the authority of my fathers and the covering of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, for fresh mercy, to be faithful, so that, Father, as I bring forth this word this morning, your word will come forth with power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And it will do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, you will transport us from where we are, and you will lift us up to higher ground, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as your word goes forth, I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful, Lord, to be concise and precise, not saying unnecessary things, redeeming the time. And help me so that out of the treasure of your word, you help me to bring forth things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as we pray, Lord, we just undercover, we let your power go forth. Let blind eyes be open. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, so that our lives individually and as a collective body, Lord, will increase with the increase of God, in the name of Jesus. We say, have your way in our lives in our midst today. Thy kingdom come, and all of your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's a great privilege for me to stand before you. I want to give honor to my spiritual fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, sir. Thank you, Mommy, ma, for once again this great privilege to share the word of God. Thank you for the decades of labor and pouring out your life and into ours, you know, by example and by precept. And I pray that you will see the travail of your soul over all of your seed, spiritual and physical, and you'll be fully satisfied in Jesus' name. And our lives will bring you pleasure. Amen. In Jesus' name. And I pray, brethren, that this word will be a blessing to all of our hearts in Jesus' name. All right. So we are back in the book of Galatians. And in our last lesson, we were looking at Galatians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Galatians 3, 12 to 14. And we saw in that lesson, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that God commanded Israel, that is natural Israel, to keep the law all the time. The Bible says that the man that doeth them shall live in them. And it was very clear. We saw that in Leviticus 18, verse 1 to 5. I'm not going to turn there again, but I'm just going to hit it running. And it's to say that God told them, you must live in these commandments so that you will not go back to the ways of Egypt, and you will not go back, you will not copy the people in the land that you are going into. So the children of Israel were a peculiar people. They were a holy nation, and they were not supposed to copy what they were seeing all around. And that's why they had to do the commandments all the time. Now, of course, the law in that sense meant the Torah. In addition to the Torah, you also had the ceremonial and physical observances, the health and dietary laws, and then spiritual law. So when we talk about the law in the Old Testament, we're talking about that composite. It's not just the sacrifices, is the Ten Commandments, is the sacrifices, is the health and dietary laws, and also was spiritual law in Joshua chapter 1. And that law also in Deuteronomy, it was a law that they were meant to keep all the days of the Lord. Alas, we know the story, they didn't do it. So they were polluted with the ways of the world. And as Christians, it speaks to us that we're not supposed to be following the world. Amen. The world is supposed to be following us. Amen. And we are peculiar. So with the things, the instructions God has given us, we live in them. No, we do it day after day after day. You can't let up because you're dealing with spiritual forces. Amen. All right. And we saw that God gave them the law, you know, last time, all I saw at the last time I was sharing with you, going over it, God opened my eyes to see that there was a threefold reason why God gave them the law. The first thing was that, you know, they needed a set of rules to live by. And so God gave them that set of rules to live by. Now, those set of rules were also meant to expose to them that there was a sin nature in their flesh and in their mind. It was deliberate, so that if they were honest, they would acknowledge the fact that even though they were trying to obey, they would disobey God. And that would lead them to the third reason: the need to keep offering sacrifices and to maintain spiritual law. All right? So it was important. Look at Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 18 in the Amplified Bible, very quickly, just to show this particularly spiritual law was key to this. But you know, God doesn't always speak explicitly. When God gives instructions, there are reasons why he has said what he has said the way he has said. If, for example, if he says, flee the appearance of evil. Now, if they are, it's not evil, but God knows what he's talking about. And the more you walk in obedience, the more you will see why he said what he said. But there were many Jews that never saw what God said. And they were arguing about keeping the law. Well, let's read it. For I do not understand. No, give it to me in the Amplified, the classic edition. Thank you. Thank you. If you have it. Thank you. Good. All right, now let's read it together. Now, if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and I take sides with it. Next verse. Next verse, verse 17. However, it is no longer I who do the deed, but sin, the principle, which is at home in me and has possession of me. That's what God was trying to point out to them. You know, it's not a principle, it's a nature. All right, verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, qualifies it, in my flesh. That flesh there is a composite of the soul and the body. Amen. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. Classic case of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I can see it, I can desire it, but I cannot do it. Right? I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but no power to what? Carry it out. That was the problem. So God wanted them to see that there was a problem. Okay? Now the Lord, now by the apostle, now showing us, sent Jesus as the legal sacrificial lamb to take away that sin nature. We just celebrated Easter. So, I mean, this is something that Pastor went over very, very clearly for us. Okay? So, he took away that sin nature man was struggling with and gave us life in exchange. So, there was both, the cross was the place of both legal exchange and vital exchange. But the legal was the foundation, and that's why God used the brilliant analytical legal mind of apostle to bring out these truths for us, so that we can understand by revelation and we can be motivated to stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Amen. It's very important. So once we were free from sin, once Jesus took our sin, all the consequences of sin, poverty was replaced with wealth. Amen. Bible says that for his sake he became poor that we might be rich. Amen. Sin was replaced by life. All right. Sickness was replaced by health. Amen. All right. Oppression was replaced by liberty. Amen. All right. So we see that God dealt with all the consequences in one single act of Jesus being sacrificed. Let's give God a super clap of it. Amen. One stone to kill as many birds as you want to count. All right. And God made sure that the high priest of that day, Caiaphas, of his own free will, because he needed to do that, because it was the high priest that killed the sin offering. So the high priest had to say it with his mouth, that you know nothing, that one man should die for the nation. He said for natural Israel and for spiritual Israel. All right. So God used him to pronounce it, so that Jesus would be killed to preserve natural Israel and spiritual Israel, fulfilling the Old Testament shadow and paving the way. You know, they've been killing lambs all through the decades. All right. But this was the lamb. This was the final Old Testament sacrifice. And after this one, there was no other lamb to be slain. So it was going to usher in a New Testament. And the lamb will now become the high priest. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of God. Give God a clap offering. That lamb becomes the high priest that will now watch over a New Testament established upon better promises. And is a different high priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16. A high priest that has eternal life. So what man lost in the Garden of Eden was now restored through the second Adam. Amen. Now let's read the Amplified Bible. Give it to us in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 7:16. So we can see. 7:16. Thank you. All right. Who has been constituted a priest, not on the basis of a bodily legal requirement, an externally imposed command concerning his physical ancestry, not sons of Levi, but on the basis of the power of an endless and what? Indestructible life. Anytime you say in Jesus' name I have life, that's what it is. Endless, indestructible, and it makes you and I indestructible. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's the will of God for us, all right? And we see that the promise, because the apostle, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, Galatians chapter 3, in verse 14. He now talks about the promise. We're looking, right, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That's how it came. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, so he was going from a dispensation of works to a dispensation of faith. Amen. And at the same time, that faith was operating through a promise. Now, it's very important to understand that the promise he's talking about there is in 1 John 2:25. It's the promise of eternal life. All right, and it's that promise that now gives the church vital access. So, legally, yes, the debt has been paid. We are now born again. We have life in our spirits. But we are not yet like Christ. And God wants that life, God's to have that life more abundantly. It's amazing that the devil fights truth. And this is the essence of what Jesus came to give. And yet, it is not commonly known. If you ask what is eternal life, people will tell you it's going to heaven. It's not going to heaven. It's a substance. And you live by it. You have to keep allowing that substance to travel from your spirit and pump it, as it were, into your soul and into your body until you flush out all the sin nature. So that not just your spirit now, but your soul and your physical body are rid of the sin nature. So you are now like God in nature. So you can become like God in character and then become like God in wisdom and power. Amen. Very important truth. No, but this is the verses I'm coming that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So Christ took us back to the tree of life. First Adam took us out of Eden. Second Adam brought us back in. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So what do we do? Daily, therefore, is our responsibility to daily receive the life of God. Amen. And use that life of God to generate the power of God. Is so important so that we can crucify that sin nature in our soul and in our mortal flesh and cleanse it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Please give that scripture to me. Thank you. Very important. 2 Corinthians, thank you for that. Yes. 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Thank you. Having therefore these promises, brethren, it's talking about promises that promise us just the life of God. It's not talking about all promises in the Bible. Yeah, it's talking about that generally at one level. But if you look at what he's talking about, holiness, he's talking about something more specific. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, that things that promise pertain unto life and godliness. Okay? Since having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness is internal. It's not external. It's primarily internal. Now, it may manifest on the outside, but it's primarily on the inside. Amen? And that is what God, that's how God wants us to live. You know, daily. Bible says, if any man will come after me, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, deny himself, then take up his cross daily and follow me. That's why he gave us the life. That's why Paul is going through all this to explain it to us. It's not supposed to stop when you are born again. We're supposed to be deliberately and intentionally receiving the life of God all through the day. We receive it, you know, to pray in the morning, in battle prayer, and then we receive it and keep allowing it to flow through your being, so that in your thinking and in my thinking, in our talking, in our behavior, we are dominated by the life of God. Amen. And the character of God now comes through with that life. Amen. Because it's the commandment of life and love. So that's how we look at Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 8, I beg your pardon, verses 12 to 14. It's very important that we go over these scriptures. Therefore, brethren, we are what? We are debtors. We are debtors. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That's why you have to live in them. You are a debtor. You have to keep living in it. Next verse. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. All right? But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body by that power of God that you generate, you crucify. That's what it means. You know, you shall what? Live. That means you will think and talk and act like someone that has life. Life is the noun, live is the verb. You use life to live. And you use death or sin to die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, that you may live in his sight. Next verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You see there, that life will make you a son. Amen. That's the whole essence. So that's the whole idea. And as you grow as a son, through faith and patience, you inherit God's promises, all of it, just like Lord Jesus Christ inherited all of God's promises. All right, so we saw that in our last lesson. We're going to go straight into the rest of our lesson today, beginning from verse 15, Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. All right, so we must daily live in the life of God. It's very important that we have that understanding. It's not an option. We are debtors. So then, because that life now must now show in everything we do. All right. Galatians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 15. Let's read it together. From verse 15 to verse 20. Let's give it to King James. Thank you. Say, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Next verse. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Tells you God is very specific when he's talking. Okay, next verse, verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Next verse. Amen. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And you and I are going to get it by promise through faith. Amen. Next verse. Wherefore then serveth the law? It's brilliant legal teasing apart. Okay? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and that it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Next verse. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Right. All right. Let's look at this in the Message Bible. Give me verses 15 to 17. Message Bible gets the message across, I believe, of all the translations. All right. Thank you. Friends. It's talking to you and I. Okay, we're friends. All right. All right. Let me give you an example from everyday affairs of the free life of God that I'm talking about. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one else can annul it or add to it. So when God was making a promise to Abraham, he was writing a will. And he's making a legal case that if among men we cannot alter what the person has written after the fact, how can we now want to alter what God has already written since Genesis chapter 22? We now want to alter it by what God has said in Deuteronomy 430 years after. That's what he says. It's not possible. That thing he said is still as potent and takes superiority over the law. That's what he was trying to tell them. It's not the law over the promise. It's the promise over the law. Amen. All right. Now, you need both, but one has preeminence over the other. Next verse. Verse 16. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and his descendants, singular. You will observe that scripture, in the careful language of a legal document, does not say to descendants, referring to everybody in general, but to your descendants. The noun, note, is singular, referring to Christ. Hallelujah. It's Paul, Baba Paul. That's why they wanted to kill him. Yes, because it was turning their whole thinking upside down. Yes, telling them that this law, Moses' law, we are going to kill you before you do that. No, and all that. All right? Next verse. All right? Referring to Christ. Okay? This is the way I interpret this. A will earlier ratified by God is not annulled by an addendum attached 430 years later, thereby negating the promise of the will. Your inheritance is sure. Amen. That's what he's telling me. Your mistakes can't take you through. That inheritance is sure if you don't give up. Amen. Let's read on. Verse 18. No, this addendum with his instructions and regulations has nothing to do with the promised inheritance in the will. What is the point then of the law, the attached addendum? It was a thoughtful addition to the original covenant promises made to Abraham. As if he was there. He was there by revelation. All right? In verse 19. Amen. Revelation is an imperative. As Pastor Will was teaching us on Wednesday. Amen. All right? The purpose of the law was to keep a sinful people in the way of salvation until Christ, the descendant, came, inheriting the promises and distributing them to us. Talk about store and distribute. Amen. He got it and is distributing it to you and I. Receive your promise. Amen. Obviously, this law was not a first-hand encounter with God. It was arranged by angelic messengers through a middleman, Moses. He's bringing another thing in there, that when God spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Abraham direct. When he's speaking about the law, he's speaking a lot through a mediator. What is happening direct is superior to what's happening through a mediator. Verse 20. Amen. Now, if there is a middleman, as there was at Sinai, then the people are not dealing directly with God, are they? But the original promise is by direct blessing of God, received by faith. Give Paul a super hand. A really super clap. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so important to understand these fundamentals so we can be grounded. No, not works. Oh, no, we are saved by grace through faith unto works. No, so the Jews hated it. No, but that was the truth. I know Revelation always exposes and suspends tradition. It comes straight between the eyes and it will suspend tradition. And many times people will take it personal. No, you want to take away, but you are wrong. What God has moved to a new level. And God is always moving to a new level. And he will not take your permission to ask you who he's going to use. Hallelujah. That's why it's very important in this body of Christ that, you know, we understand that we need to be submitted to all people in the fear of God. It's very important because God is no respecter of persons and doesn't work with public opinion. The fact that, the Bible says Noah found grace. Where? In the eyes of God. It doesn't matter what anybody else thought about Noah. As far as God was concerned, that's my man. And there's nothing you can do about it. You cannot do anything about it. You can only weep and cry and get angry and get annoyed. You cannot do anything about it. And that's why, brethren, one with God is the majority. Don't look at the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the light that comes through the word of God by revelation. Amen. You have, because many times revelation is taking, the Bible says, the inheritance of the saints in light. It is the light of God shining through the face of Jesus Christ through sons of Issachar that's going to lead you and I into our inheritance. It's not by following the crowd. So how many will believe on this? That's what they said to Christ. How many will have believed on him? Not about public opinion. Sometimes God has his men of the moment. And if you don't listen to those men, you will not get that truth. And if you don't get that truth, they're not going to enter into your inheritance. So it's important to be submissive. Amen. It's very important. Let's move on. Look at verse 21, 23. Verse 21. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 21. Thank you. No, take it back. Thank you very much. Take it back to the King James. Thank you. Right. Is the law then against the promises of God? He's answering those questions. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. God wanted to give a law, wanted to give life to fallen man. He has a dilemma. He has fallen. He is disconnected from me. Spirit, soul, and body. How do I get back to him? Okay, I can walk on the outside by showing him mercy, as what Joseph did, as what Daniel did. But ultimately, I want to connect with him on the inside. So he's looking for a way. I must find a way. So I know it tells you how persistent God is to look at what is best for you and I. Amen. He wasn't satisfied and said, okay, there's man, they can manage that. No, we must get back to the original plan. All right. So that was looking for an avenue. And that's why it had to be by faith that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's why he used faith. It's everybody is a leveler. Everybody anywhere can believe. Everybody, you don't have to make, just believe and you'll get the life. So as far as God was concerned, that was the way. And he was moving out of the box that the Jews had built and stepped out of it to reach out to the rest of the world. Amen. And even themselves, to lead them to a higher place. Amen. Verse 22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Next verse. Thank you. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Amen. All right, it's very important. So God's plan for natural Israel was to accept Christ as the only access door to eternal life on the inside. But unfortunately, they rejected him. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39 to 41. John chapter 5. May knowledge not be a hindrance for us. Because the Jews, that was the problem. They were dishonest. No matter, and knowledge can't help you. This was Jesus talking to them. This was life talking to them. This was the lamb that was going to die, telling them what the purpose was if they had ears to hear. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Life is not through the scripture, life is through a person. Next verse. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Next verse. I receive not honor from men. That was a problem for the Jews. The fact that he wasn't in their circle, that he wasn't, he did not have a liturgical order, and he did not have anybody's endorsement. Wasn't anyone, he didn't belong to any camp of their own school. So we reject him before we hear him. So anytime we are hearing him, we are hearing him with a closed mind. That's dishonesty. Dishonesty is making up your mind, not opening your mind to the truth. Honesty is willingness to accept the truth. Dishonesty is, I already have my opinion, so I am going to listen to what you have to say with my ears, but I will shut my heart so that what you are saying will not enter. I says, having eyes, they see, yet they are not seeing. Having ears, they hear, but they are not hearing. That will not be. So what it's bringing out to us to learn from is that we should all be careful about dishonesty. You need to be open to hear the truth. No, it may not be palatable. It may not be what you are expecting to hear. But that is the way God works. And you have to go through. God didn't change the rule. I mean, Adam had fallen in the Garden of Eden, God was on the back foot. This man that he made was out of the Garden of Eden, was under the dominion of Satan. But God did not change the rules. He played with the rules. Honesty, humility, integrity, patience, love. Instead of tearing the page and scratching it and crumpling it and start again, let's work with that. We'll manage it. We'll work through it. And did it for 4,000 years. So where did you get your own tear the page? Change the rule. No, if you cannot win this way, then we remove some things and modify it. And that's not God's way. That's not God's way. Stay with it. Win God's way. It's not winning anyhow. It's winning God's way. So that God can celebrate you when you win. And then that win will make you increase in the knowledge of God. It's not having victory anyhow. It's having victory God's way. God is big enough, wise enough, strong enough to take you through. He's shown you and I through Jesus Christ. If you could bring that plan to pass and make Caiaphas prophesy, and Caiaphas was speaking of his own free will, he will make your enemies to be at peace with you when you do it God's way. Amen. Integrity is important, okay? All right, so we see that we all have to submit. It's very important to submit to one another in the fear of God and to remain small in our own eyes. That's that confession pastor that did. It's beautiful. 1 Samuel 15:17. Small in our own eyes. May God help us. It's something that you have to keep practicing and working on. You know, like pastor always says, nobody's born with a David's heart. We have to keep, using the word of God and the confession of our mouth and the power of the Holy Spirit to create and maintain a David kind of heart. Amen. And God is helping us. Amen. So we need to do that. No, so, when thou was little in thine own sight, there is something about our hearts. Is that sin nature inside? Once you have done something for some time, you will tell God, move. I know what you want to do now. Move. I can take charge. I understand. Maybe this is what we did all the previous time. It's okay. Just, you are still here in the car, but I'm now behind the steering. May God have mercy on us. We don't say it like that, but that's what we do. When thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel and not anointed the king over Israel? And then God now gave instruction. You now modify it. Mercy on us. So it's important for us, brethren. You know, we say this is in our confession already, but just in case you have not seen it in the confession, I'm telling you now that you can check it on the app. It's there. That we submit to God. Because without God, we cannot survive. Spiritually or physically. Okay, you can't survive. Then you submit those in authority over you. Without them, you cannot survive physically. And you cannot progress physically. Because you cannot survive physically and progress spiritually. Spiritual progress is tied to submission. And to those who are under your authority or your peers, you and I still have to submit when what they say is in line with the word of God or the will of God. Because if you don't do it, you will not be able to progress. God has tied it and locked it up in submission. So that no rebels, there will be no more Satan. Amen. This one will be fully submitted, church. And that's where God is going. Let's look at verse 24. Verse 23, I beg your pardon. We'll go back to Galatians now. Verse 23. Let's begin to round up. Verse 23. Let's read it. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Next verse. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we may be justified by faith. Let's give me from verse 23 in the Amplified Bible. Just give that to me so we can just go over it as we begin to round up. Right. Now, before faith came, we were perpetually guarded under the law, kept in custody in preparation for the faith that was destined to be revealed, unveiled, disclosed. They could only get this truth from Paul. Through an honest, God tried to use Peter, but Paul was the one that followed it through. Amen. Next verse. So the law served to us Jews as our trainer, our guardian, our guide to Christ, to lead us until Christ came, that we might be justified, declared righteous, put in right standing with God by and through faith. Amen. Verse 25. For in Christ Jesus. Yes. Sorry, that was 26. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a trainer, the guardian of our childhood. Isn't that so? Is that so clear? You know, that when spiritually speaking, you know, all the years before Christ came was childhood. A 4,000-year legal childhood. Where no spiritual childhood. Where they had to be do, don't. It was a testament of don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. But then when Christ came, we now switch to a testament of do's. Do this. Do that. Amen? That's what he's talking about. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the next verse. Amen. So everybody is children of God. The Gentiles and the Jews. That's what he's saying. Next verse. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Next verse. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one. Where? In Christ Jesus. Is a leveler. What you are in the world does not matter anymore. You are now a living being in a new family. Amen. And with that identity, you can change everything else on the outside. These fingers are not equal in the natural, but in the spiritual, they are. Any inequality in this natural, you can do it by spiritual means. Very important. In natural things, they will tell you fingers are not equal, and it's correct. But in the spiritual, everybody is equal. We start with Christ. Baptized into Christ. Next verse. Let's go to the final verse so we can round up. And if you be Christ, then are you what? Abraham's seed and what? Heirs according to the promise. Life is the promise of life that will make you a true heir. Who is an heir? Somebody who is destined to inherit, but it is important that he actually grows up and inherits. That's why he said in verse 27, look at verse 27, when we are baptized into Christ, we become part of the body of Christ. Amen. We get born again. We are now members of a spiritual body that is made up of all born again Christians all over the world. Amen. All right. But the Bible says here, it says, as many of you has been baptized, have put on Christ, we must also put on Christ. Look at Romans chapter 13, the last verse. Romans chapter 13, very important. We must put on Christ. He's talking about that. It's very important. Put on Christ. Amen. Says, but put ye on what? The Lord Jesus. You already have him. But we're not seeing him on the outside. So he's saying that you have to put him on the way you put on a jacket. So that what is on the inside in your spirit can manifest in your soul and in your body, and everybody can see it on the outside. And he says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's why we need to daily partake of the life of God. Daily pray in tongues. Amen. With travail and with tongues. So we pump that life out from the spirit where it is hidden and bring it out into our soul, our will, our mind, our emotions, our physical body, so that that life now dominates and then it cleanses out that old nature so that it now takes its place. So life is now made manifest in our mortal flesh. When that life is now made manifest in our mortal flesh, then you become like Christ. You put him on in maturity. And that gives you, that now gives you access card to the inheritance. That inheritance, incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning skills, incredible musical ability. Until you get there, Christ is not satisfied. Because he died for all that. And he must see the travail of his soul. Amen. So, brethren, what God's saying that we must become saviors. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. As a roundup. We must become saviors from Mount Zion. It says, but upon Mount Zion shall be what? Deliverance from sin. Primarily. Every other thing is an extension. From sin. And there shall be what? Holiness. When there is no sin, there is life. So life brings holiness because there's deliverance. Amen. And the house of Jacob shall change and possess their possession. Hallelujah. Verse 18. But it's telling you, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. For the Lord has what? Spoken it. Change. There are two houses. House of David and the house of Saul. House of Jacob, house of Esau. Jacob will do the will of God. David will do the will of God. Saul will do his own version. Esau will do his. Bible says when Esau saw that they had told Jacob to go and marry from his mother's family and all that. That is when he saw that they told him that. That is when he now went and married Judith. Eh? And married another. Deliberately. In your face. I'm not going to do it. House of Esau. God is warning you. He's warning you. They're going to burn you up. That house of Jacob you're looking down on. They're going to become a fire. That house of Joseph, they're going to become a flame. And God doesn't want you to be devoured. So change from Esau's house and come to Jacob's house. How do you do that? By your heart. It's by heart. In repentance from the heart. Amen. Amen. A heart that is honest. A heart that is humble. No, when you see instruction and truth, don't reject it. Obey it. Even if you cannot start obeying, accept it. And God is looking, okay, at least you have accepted it. Okay, I will help you. Bible says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God is not saying, do it by yourself and so you can impress me. He wants to help you to do it because you cannot do it by yourself. That's in nature. You cannot handle it by yourself. He wants to help you flush it out. Look at verse 21, Obadiah chapter 1. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion, the perfect church that has no sin in it, to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. This is going on right now. The house of David is waxing stronger and stronger. The house of Saul is waxing weaker and weaker because the day is getting darker and darker. You need light to stay in the house of David. And God is calling out unto us, come out and inherit the glory so that God can show you and I as a wave offering to the nations, delivering creation from the bondage of sin and demonstrating the manifold wisdom of God, making disciples of all nations. God wants us to become trees of life. A tree, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So you become a life giver, a savior. You're not going to save them by yourself. You save them in the name of Jesus, but you'll be the access point through which they get life. The nations are waiting for a savior. And we're going to possess them first in the place of intercession. But we start going there. You know, prepare the ground. So what is God saying to us? Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep out pride. You know, I'm better than this person. Don't compare yourself amongst yourselves. Compare yourself with Christ. Pastor taught us, when you compare yourself with Christ, you will always be small in your own eyes. Amen. And then diligently keep the law of life and love. You do it fervently. Do it diligently. And then perfect unity that will unify the church. Forgiveness, mercy, love. Cover one another. So you know, we wash one another's feet. Ask life for people. Pray for them in tongues. This is what is building up the house of Jacob. It's building up the house of Joseph. So they become a fire. Amen. You know, and God is building them up now. And he's calling you. As the Lord is building up Zion, he's going to appear in his glory. Come and be a part of what God is doing. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. It has to do with attitude. Faith is an attitude. Bible talks about the shield of faith. It's an attitude of faith. The armor of God is an armor of love. As God is talking to us today about putting on that armor. Armor of truth. The belt of truth. The attitude of truth. Feet shod the preparation of the gospel of peace. An attitude of love. And peace. Helmet of hope. An attitude of hope. Put on the armor every day. By praying, I choose to fear God. Those instructions we have been given to make more room for the Lord Jesus Christ. All the more reason to do them now is what God is saying to us. You do it diligently. Do it fervently. And keep your heart. I keep my heart with all diligence. You're reaching out for higher ground under the covering of the fathers. Put your left hand on your heart. Your heart is where it's at. It's the attitude. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, showing me that you lifted up. It was your desire to lift up the Jews from where they were onto higher ground. But very few went up to higher ground because of their attitude. Have mercy on me. Help me, Lord, in this season of perfection to receive instruction. concerning perfection out of Zion from the sons of Issachar. So that I will accept instruction. I will practice instruction consistently so that I will move up to higher ground, a higher place of revelation, a higher place of humility, a higher place of the fruit of the Spirit. I will catch a gleam of glory bright, and I will walk in that glory. In the name of Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful and to triumph in self-denial and obedience in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rabakato zenge de bebedi katamade bekele bebedi rombo sota zefrekero redanaman benga tom de bakata zefrepirande zenge de beberia makatane rode de bota bele lebato rodea zenka konde katabale redanaman bele laman Bele lamato, rose bakata, jeke nebea, rumba baba di kala bado wanan, meka lebe bedi koko tu ababonon, meka lebe bedi koko tu ababa, beba balide, rabba bilalan, rode lamato, rose bange lebe beria, roba kanto mena. In Jesus' name, amen. Now God is here to heal our bodies, to meet our need. Sin has been taken out of the way. We now live by Christ Jesus, and with that life comes healing. It's the children's bread. So touch that place that is hurting as you believe God. Just touch that place as much as decency permits. And if you have a need, just focus on it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth. Thank you because under the covering of our fathers, the Bible says you sent your word and healed them, and you delivered them from their destruction. Thank you because Lord Christ has made a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us who have been given the promise of the Spirit through Christ. So Father, we receive, Lord, the answers to their need. Lord, healing, deliverance, provision, liberty, strength, in the name of Jesus. We say, be thou made whole, for the Son of God has set you free, and you are free indeed, in the name of Jesus. Bangele bebedi kasa benka lavama repa pelelante rasa beka lavama yewori naman rena lebedi jeka lavabatoa robako belelebenta romba kasa bela ronge lebediana. In Jesus' name, amen.